And it's 1:31. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Brain. We're breaking into our programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. Now we go live to the governor speaking from the state capitol.
Update by Dr. Jose Romero, the Secretary of the Department of Health, and today also Secretary Mike Preston, the Secretary of Commerce. Let me make a comment first before we go into the cases, and I wanted to discuss the President's executive orders that he issued on Saturday, and Secretary Preston and myself, Secretary Walther, we've worked on this over the weekend, trying to get a handle on what that exactly would mean for Arkansas. And let me first say that I believe the President is simply doing his best to get the money to citizens of the United States that are in great need. This is an economic crisis. We have Arkansans that are hurting, and the President clearly is just trying to figure out a way to get relief to them quickly, and I think that is the motivation behind what he is doing. The best solution is for Congress to reach an agreement that we can have the continued ability to provide the unemployment compensation at some level of increased support for those that are on unemployment. The reason Congress can reach an agreement is that if you agree what everybody says is absolutely needed right now, which is a minimum of $1 trillion that would go to the support of America, then let's get that out the door. The rest can be saved for later, but we should not block immediate relief with the idea that we ought to have a $3 trillion spending package or nothing. And I think that is important. Now, if you look at from the standpoint of Arkansas, we have 120,000 Arkansans on unemployment assistance that would benefit from a continuation of the pandemic unemployment compensation, the enhanced compensation. If the state has to put up 25%, the state of Arkansas can make that happen, but it would be challenging and would take some time. We will have to adjust some of our priorities. The cost is estimated to be $265 million. And for example, we have put $250 million into reserve of our CARES Act funding that we would not tap into until October. We would have to dip into that in order to be able to meet the 25% requirement over time. In order to accomplish that, since we're utilizing FEMA dollars, we'd have to have a new appropriation bill that would be passed, and that means you'd have to go to the Legislative Council to do this, and all of you in this room know that that is an unpredictable time frame and result with being able to get through that legislative appropriation process. And so the best solution, again, is for Congress to reach an agreement. That would be the quickest relief. That would be more fair to the states, would not require us to adjust the priorities in the hope that somehow Congress is going to come back and refill that treasury later on. And so we do need some level of continued support for the unemployed. Congress needs to act, and the greatest assistance that we need would be for a package that would help us with some of the needs in our school systems as we look at in-classroom instruction for this coming year, and for the opportunity as needed to go to a blended or online learning environment. We're going to have to wait for federal instructions to learn more about how this needs to proceed, and so time will tell a little bit more as the week progresses. When it comes to our case report, let me just recap where we were last week. Friday, we had a very large increase of 1,011 cases. Saturday, the new cases were down to 772. On Sunday, the new cases were down to 572. Today, the new cases are at 645, and That would bring our total case number with that increase to 50,028 cumulative cases here in the state of Arkansas. Of the 645, 13 of them are in correctional facilities, and 632 have been in the community across the state. In terms of hospitalizations, we've had a decline of 6 in hospitalizations. It brings us to down to 508. We've had 11 additional deaths, and one half of those are as a result of delayed reporting, and that brings our total deaths of Arkansans because of COVID-19 to 555. The counties that contributed to that new cases of 645, Pulaski County was first with 61 new cases. Sebastian County had 52, Garland County 50, Saline County 43, Jefferson County 40, Craighead County 32, Benton County 21, and Independence County 20. Let's look at the graphs that will tell a little bit more of the story. There you can see, of course, where we are today, much, much lower than where we were at the height, but we have more work to do. And then you'll see the 7-day rolling average that has us pointed in the right direction. We need to keep pointed in the right direction. It's certainly leveling off there, but we have to get that down further. And then this is a different look of the same information, but this is the daily average of new cases in Arkansas by week. And this is something that I believe is instructive because you can see the last week, which was when our mask mandate really was expected to start having some impact. And I believe that you can see the impact of the mask mandate with a reduction of the cases from where it was 2 weeks ago at the peak of right at 800 in terms of average. And now we've declined that well over 100. And hopefully the mask mandate, if everybody continues to comply, they continue to socially distance, we'll continue to see that success. And we're certainly hopeful for that. And then this is the number of active cases. As people recover, you'll see that go down. And then you'll see the next one. This is just going back to where we had the UAMS projections. And if you recall, they projected that on August 10th that we would have 55,000 cases in Arkansas in terms of cumulative cases. That was projected. And of course, we hope to beat that. You see where the 55,000 projection is, which is the light colored line. The bar graph shows that on August 10th, which is today, we're at 50,000. So we beat that projection. And these are short-term projections that were provided by the modelers at UAMS. And then you go to the next slide. And this is a look we take at just every once in a while. It's always like to see how we're comparing with some of the other states. Not all of them, but just a few of them. And this is the cases per 100,000. And you see that cases per 100,000, you have Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Texas, Tennessee, and Arkansas, where we come in our cases per 100,000, followed by Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, and Kentucky. Of course, everybody knows that sometimes the amount of testing you do does have an impact on the cases that are reported. The next slide says the tests that are being done per 100,000. This gives you a sense that we're doing well in testing, and that gives us some credibility on the cases that we have per 100,000. Tennessee and Louisiana continues to do better in testing for a number of different reasons, but we continue to do well and hold our own in terms of the testing that we try to do in the state. And then this is the positivity rate, which is the area that we have to work on the most. In other words, whenever people go out and get a test, generally 90% of them are negative. We like to keep it below 10% that would be positive, those that seek a test. And here, Arkansas, in terms of positivity and the cumulative level, is about 8.5, it looks like, something like that. And you can see where we compare to the other states. And it's interesting that Kansas was behind us in the number of tests per 100,000, but they're higher in a positivity rate. And so let's go on to the next slide. And this is the 7-day rolling average of our positivity rate, where we're going the right direction, but it's a concern because those last few will be filled in as more test results come in. So I don't get too cocky or too elated whenever I see that downward trend. I look at it more over the longer term, but you can see even over the last 2 weeks, we have had some progress made on positivity rate. I believe that is this. I've mentioned the antigen test, which is available at certain pharmacies. We're trying to make it available through the Department of Health. These tests are not included in the PCR test that we just recited. Our goal was to have 10,000 antigen tests through the course of the month. We're at about 1,500, so we want to accelerate that. Hopefully, when our equipment gets on board, we'll be able to do more antigen tests that are point of care, that are quick turnaround, that gives people the information they need very quickly. We'll have more to talk about that through the course of the week as we work on trying to reduce the cost of those tests or get payment reimbursement for those and make those more available to the people of Arkansas. With that, Dr. Romero, if you could come and make your comments, and then I've asked Secretary Preston to give us some updates in terms of how they're processing some of the pending unemployment claims still.
This is Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero. You're listening to KYR 89.1.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Governor. So to repeat some of the numbers and then add to them, so new cases, 645. 13 of these cases occurred in correctional institutions and 632 in the community. The governor mentioned that we've had a decrease of 6 in our hospitalizations, now to 508 Arkansans hospitalized. Two more individuals have required ventilation, and that makes 117 persons on a ventilator. The deaths have been mentioned already at 555. We found no focal clusters of deaths, and to date, we have a total of 42,139 Arkansans have recovered. That's an increase of 678. Active cases now are 7,343, with 52 cases coming from nursing homes, 886 from correctional institutions, and 6,450 from community cases. The total testing, as was mentioned by the governor, was 5,341. Our positivity rate cumulatively, that is throughout the entire epidemic here in the state, has been 8.8. Arkansas Department of Health Laboratory continues to contribute a significant number to this, with 1,844 specimens tested in the previous 24 hours. Private commercial laboratories still are depressed for reasons that we've discussed in the past, 3,194, and University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences at 303. Total number of tests performed this month are 52,946. So as the governor mentioned, it's good to see that the trend may be going downward with the number of positive tests. It's still early. We would like to see that continue downward. But if we do see that further trend in the 500 to 600 positives a day during this week, I think that is good evidence that the mask mandate is going into effect, that we're starting to depress the curve. It's important to keep in mind that we shouldn't slack as we start to see these better numbers. I mean, everybody starts to say, yes, we're beating the curve, or we're seeing less, but we need to keep this up, because if we don't, then these will come back again. And then my final comment today will be on alerting parents of a possibility of a new respiratory viral syndrome that may start to be seen starting this month and well into November. And this is due to a group of viruses called enteroviruses. There was a syndrome that has been described for several years now in which children develop acute paralysis or acute weakness of the arms or legs. We expect from the CDC to see more cases of this year. You'll hear me talking more about this as we go forward, but I want parents to be aware of this. And it is another reason why wearing masks, washing hands is protective, because that virus also, we believe, is transmitted through respiratory secretions and through poor hand hygiene. So again, I'll talk more about this in the future. And then I'll turn it over to Secretary Preston.
And this is Commerce Secretary Mike Preston.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Dr. Romero. And I agree. Continue wearing your mask. You can see the numbers are moving in the right direction, but we need to be diligent. I appreciate the message. Just to reiterate there, and a couple things the governor mentioned related to the executive order, the governor alluded to, we do have 120,000 Arkansans who are still on some type of unemployment assistance. This is between the traditional unemployment assistance and the pandemic unemployment assistance. That's still a lot of Arkansans, but it's certainly a lot better than we were, say, back in May, where we had 122,000 just on traditional unemployment assistance by itself. So we're seeing the numbers move in the right direction, but again, we're not out of the woods just yet, and we have some work to do. So we stand ready to work with the Federal Department of Labor as we await their guidance on how these funds will be issued and if there's any changes on how they're dispersed. And as the governor mentioned, about $265 million is the estimate to carry us through the president's executive order to the end of the calendar year. I will say, you look back at the pandemic unemployment assistance compensation, about $1.3 billion has been spent to date in the state of Arkansas. So while those funds were certainly timely at that point, they helped keep our economy moving and were so beneficial to those who needed it. But we are pleased to see the numbers heading in the right directions and folks getting back to work. As it's related to the fraud, we still continue to see the increase in fraud. I know we talked a lot about that last week, and I think folks are following the message that we sent out last week. But for those who might have missed it or have received a new claim or something in their name, again, if you receive a claim that says you have filed for unemployment or pandemic unemployment assistance and it's not you and you know it's fraudulent, please immediately call the Department of Workforce Services. We want to hear about that. We will take your information down and stop that claim. That number is 501-682-1058, or you can email at adws.internalaudit@arkansas.gov, or you can go to our website and there's a form there that you can also upload. So when you receive that in the mail, if it's a fraudulent claim, immediately notify us so we can stop that claim, and then you can file on with a police report as well so they have that information. And again, we're coordinating with multiple law enforcement agencies across the state and across the country on this. For those of you who might be in a fraud status and it's held up, and though it is a legitimate claim, but you have a freeze or a hold on your account, you will be receiving additional information in the mail. It will tell you where to go to a workforce center, when you need to go there and meet with our team, show your identification so we can clear that up and get that payment taken care of. We began that process last week. It seems to be going very well. We'll continue it on throughout this week and next week, but be looking for those letters in the mail for those who are in that hold status. But again, please go to our website. If you have that fraudulent claim, reach out and let us know. Governor.
Thank you, Mike. With that, we'll take any questions.
Governor, can you remark on the state hitting 50,000 cases? Just for some context, we hit 25,000 cases on July 8th. So that was, three, 4 months into the pandemic. On July 8th, we saw an increase of 734 cases. So in the month since, total cases have doubled. We've seen numerous days where those cases, daily increases have been around the same, 600-700. What's the outlook look like from here? And if those daily case numbers don't decline, what else can you do to try to get them to do so?
Well, it's a very good question. And we've accomplished the objective of making sure that we manage the COVID cases in a way that our hospitals can handle the requirements to make sure that we had the PPE, the infrastructure in place. And so in that sense that, it's been a good management of how and extending the cases out. The other part of the good news is the fact that UAMS was projecting a 55,000 at this point, where we're at 50,000 on August 10th, which means, again, we're beating the curve and beating the projections. Now, this is not the place to flatten it out. You don't want to flatten out at 700 cases a day or 800 cases a day. You've got to continue that decline. And so even though we've had some recent success over the last week, this is still too high of a new cases every day type load. So we got to continue to make progress. We will continue to make that progress if there is compliance with the public health guidelines, which would be the wearing of the mask, it is social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and avoiding the parties where you're not protected. That's what we have to do. Now your question is, well, what else can you do? And the answer is that, you know, if we have a large breakout again, if we go up over up to 1,100 to 1,500 cases a day, you know, the choices I have would be to put in additional restrictions to stop the movement of people where they're not, where there's a correlation to the new cases that we have. And so we don't want to do that. We don't want to have to go back. And the way you avoid that is to do what Dr. Romero and the public health team is asking everybody to do. And with that, we'll continue to have progress made.
The Arkansas Education Association today, visiting with some lawmakers, basically calling for a virtual start to the year. Didn't know if you had a response to maybe what they had to say on that.
Well, they asked for a virtual start for the first 2 weeks of school and then see where we go from there. We're having the opposite approach, which is let's start school in classroom instruction. Let's do everything we can to be successful. And if we have to adjust down the road in individual school districts, we will do that. And so it's a difference of approach. I think the approach that we're taking as a state is good for the students. We're trying to put in all the measures necessary to give teachers confidence, and I fully understand from the letters I get, the communication I have with teachers, the concern that they have, but I know that the schools are doing everything they can to make it a safe environment, and that's the direction we need to continue to go.
I believe my question might be more for Dr. Romero about the mask, but last Friday, Duke University published a study about the effectiveness of various masks and said, I just wanted to know if you had a comment on the finding that neck gaiters and bandanas were less effective than masks.
And Health Secretary Jose Romero.
So I believe you're referring to the science paper. Okay. So yes. So this was published last week. This group of investigators looked at different materials. I believe they looked at 14 different types of material with regard to masks. So cotton masks, polyester masks, they work very, very well. They work almost as well as surgical masks, which is really very nice to know. What don't work well, although they're very fashionable, are the gaiters. And I'm glad I didn't buy one because they actually disseminate the spread of the plume, if you will, of respiratory secretions outward and may actually promote it. So I would not recommend, based on that particular article, the use of gaiters, but these do work very well.
Are there any other questions remotely?
Yes. Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. I want to ask you a couple questions related to the president's executive orders. On unemployment, do you have a timeline for making a decision on whether the state's going to put in that 25%? And are you concerned, based on your comments, I got this, but just want to see, are you concerned that there's not the support in the legislature for that appropriation? And separately, wanted to see if, do you have concern about there not being additional money given the stalemate right now, there not being additional money coming forward for states and cities at this point?
Well, Andrew, you'll have to refresh me if I forget some of the points that you raised. But in terms of the General Assembly, no, I know that they will always act in the best interest of our Kansans. I just don't want to be presumptuous as to predicting how they would act or to circumventing their own review. My statement was out of respect for the role that they appropriately have. Whether it's Congress at the federal level or the General Assembly, they control the purse strings. And we don't have sufficient appropriations that have been given to us already, and so we have to go back to the legislature, and that will be a role that they would play. It is relevant that that means it's not going to be immediate, though, and it will take some time. Another part of your question was, when will I make my decision and try to determine whether we're going to pursue that? And the answer is, I want more information first. I want more additional guidelines from the federal government as to how this will work. I also will continue to work with Secretary Preston to make sure we have a good handle on the numbers. And then it's a question of whether we should reallocate some of the funds that we have toward this effort for current unemployment compensation, because right now it's allocated to helping our students to be better prepared for online distance learning if necessary by putting funds into high-speed broadband. And so we'd have to reallocate some of that money, and part of that consideration is will Congress be, if we put this money out there now to fill the gap, will they be replenishing the funds coming to the state down the road? So all of those things are important before I actually make a decision on that, and we'll continue to work on it.
Governor, this is Erica Thomas with 5 News. I had a question for you about football practice. Southside in Fort Smith and Bentonville High School football teams have both had players test positive for COVID-19 and have continued to practice. Can you explain the directives for high school sports again and how they're still being allowed to gather even though they've had exposure to COVID-19?
Well, sure. Whenever you look at the guidelines, and just because one student has a positive test or is quarantined doesn't mean that the whole team is. You have to look at the individual circumstances, the level of contact, and make a determination, a judgment, in conjunction with the Department of Health. And you mentioned 2 schools in Northwest Arkansas. We had another high school that there was one student that was positive, and so they quarantined the whole team. Well, that was an error, and so we went back and said that wasn't necessary, and we made a different determination. So that's going to happen in terms of a positive test. There's not a surprise there, and it's not a surprise that they continue practicing once they look at where the contact is and where the risks are and who should be quarantined. So that's what is consistent with our public health guidelines. Dr. Romero, do you have anything else on that? Another question?
Governor, this is Chelsea Helms with KWA in Fayetteville. There are reports the Big Ten may cancel this football season. Do you have any thoughts on what the SEC should do this fall?
Well, the short answer is no, I don't think they should cancel the season. There's a lot of factors that they have to look at. I know that they've been working from the University of Arkansas standpoint with our Department of Health. There's an approved plan that we're comfortable with in terms of the limitations on fans that are there. In terms of the athletes, student athletes that are on the field, one, they have to be willing to do it and they want to do it. That's why they went to get their scholarship, and they want to play for SEC ball. And then secondly, are the coaches prepared to do it? And the coaches are not saying we need to back off from the season. And then you look at it from the standpoint of experience and what's been the result over the last week And since they've started their practice, I think it's been a good result. I think the student athletes are taking care of themselves. Sure, there's going to be a positive case, but you work through that and you proceed on. Every school in the SEC has a different experience, a different positivity rate in their state, different circumstances and requirements, so they all have to come together. But I hope that we have SEC football this year. I'm supportive of that, and I hope that they move forward.
Governor.
Officials or ADs, and what do you think the actual likelihood that that season is going to happen is?
I've only spoken with Hunter Yurchek at the University of Arkansas in terms of SEC football, and so that's the only inside information that I have.
Hutchison?
Yes.
Yes. Elijah Mundy, KJRW Radio in Mid-South and KCAT Radio in Pine Bluff. With football being a contact sport and so many hundreds of players in college and high school coming together from all areas each week to play, and since face mask wearing has become so important, will football players and coaches be required to wear a face mask during the game?
In terms of the coaches and staff, yes, they have to wear a face mask unless they are significantly socially distanced from the players. And we actually discussed that today, if you've got a coach that's yelling at the players, he needs to be 12 feet away from them, unless he has a mask on. And so, you want to be able to have that distinction where a coach can, with a proper socially distance, be able to talk to the players. But otherwise, they are required to wear a mask, and that would include during the game.
Players, the football players while playing it.
Was that a question?
Yes. What about, will the players, while they're out playing on the field, be required to wear a face mask?
No, they are not required to wear the mask like I have in front of me. Obviously, they continue to wear their football gear, which includes a face mask, and they may have protective shields as well, depending upon the resources of the school. But no, while you are actually in physical contact on the football field, you do not have to wear a cloth covering.
Can I ask one more question, Governor?
This is your last one, but go ahead.
Okay, I appreciate that. The scientific evidence is that the coronavirus can live on surfaces for hours and even days. And with thousands of kids and hundreds of teachers coming back to school, is there a required plan to have a team of experts each day to regularly come into every school to sanitize and disinfect all surfaces and objects where the virus can live and possibly get on children? And also, will there be temperature checks on each student each day as they enter into their schools or classroom?
All right, Dr. Merrill, can you address the surfaces and how the virus may or may not spread on surfaces?
And again, Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero.
So, yes, there is evidence that the virus can persist on surfaces. The days that you were referring to are under experimental conditions and not typical conditions. But routine sanitation, that is wiping a surface down with whatever your designated solution is, alcohol wipes, bleach solutions, soap solutions, are enough to disrupt the virus and to prevent its spread. So you don't really need a deep cleaning hazmat team to come in every day to go ahead and clean, as long as you have good sanitation on the surfaces that are frequently in contact.
Governor?
This will be the last question remotely, then we'll come back to the table, but go ahead, please.
Governor, the Fayetteville Education Association is holding a peaceful protest today for safe schools.
Okay.
I keep getting muted here. Have you been meeting with these Fayetteville teachers? Do you know what their concerns are exactly?
Well, I've heard from a number of teachers, including those in the Fayetteville School District. I hear from teachers all across the state. And I've also met with a representative of different teacher associations. So the answer to that is yes. In terms of protest, I think that illustrates the fact that, you know, whether you are in a classroom or whether you are elsewhere, there's activities that you can be put at risk. And if you're in that activity, we have to take steps to protect from the spread of the virus. And those are the measures that we're trying to accomplish as we get ready for school, which is 2 weeks away. Back at the table.
Do we know how, how many accounts have been unfrozen the past couple of weeks and how many are still frozen?
And Commerce Secretary Mike Preston.
I think on the total frozen is about 37,000 between the two. We've been working the last couple of weeks. I don't have off the top of my head right now how many, but we could look at that. It'll probably be, you know, as I said, we started this mid last week of unfreezing the ones and the verification and going through a week of that. So I'd say by the end of this week, we'd have a solid number of where we currently stand.
Last question right here.
Has the state received any of the testing kits for the antigen tests, or are we still waiting on them?
We were told they will be here this week. We will see. I never count it done until they're actually in your hands.
Follow up on that. We've heard about delays in the post office. Is that having any effect in the state receiving necessary equipment to combat the virus?
Are you any aware of any delays because of the Postal Service? And I think the answer is no. That hasn't been any reason for the delay. I wish it was that simple. In fact, just to illustrate how intent we are on getting these, I offered to drive to the testing facility to pick up the supplies if that was an issue.
Is there any further directive for youth sports? Because I know a lot of cities, when it comes to their recreational programs, have been confused with maybe this, the AAA is just for high school. Is there anything else that?
Good question. And Dr. Romero and his team at Department of Health has approved a directive that goes to high school and community youth sports. And so there's an application to both of those in that directive. And that should be filed, those guidelines should be filed today and put up on the website. Thank you very much.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KYR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief recap of the numbers we heard today, and over the weekend, there were a total of 1,011 new coronavirus cases last Friday. That was the state's third highest daily increase. Over the weekend, also, we saw on Saturday an additional 772 new cases and 572 new cases on Sunday. That in total results in 1,344 cases Saturday and Sunday. There were also an additional 23 deaths over those 2 days due to COVID-19. And today here on Monday, we see the state has a total of 645 new cases and 11 additional deaths. So the 645 new cases brought the state's total over the 50,000 mark. There are now a total of 50,028 Arkansans who have ever tested positive for the coronavirus. And again, 11 additional deaths today for a total of 555 Arkansans who have died from COVID-19. We saw 6 fewer Arkansans hospitalized with COVID-19 for a total of 508. And as of today, a total of 7,343 active COVID-19 cases. Here in Pulaski County, an additional 61 new test results testing positive here today in the past 24 hours. We added 52 new cases in Sebastian County, 50 in Garland County, 43 in Saline County, and 40 in Jefferson County. Aside from the new cases, we heard Governor Asa Hutchinson talking a bit about President Trump's executive orders. Of course, the president signing 4 executive orders over the weekend, one of which essentially extends the pandemic unemployment compensation benefits. That's that extra $600 a week that is essentially goes on top of traditional unemployment benefits. That's strictly related to the pandemic. Of course, those benefits did expire, and we have seen Congress essentially being deadlocked on a decision of whether to extend those benefits of $600 a week for traditional unemployment recipients. One of President Trump's executive orders that he signed over the weekend essentially would extend those benefits at the reduced amount of $400 a week, but it would require states to cover 25% of that cost, of that $400 weekly payment, for everyone who is claiming that pandemic unemployment compensation benefits. We heard the governor essentially coming out against that today. He said that would be challenging. Arkansas can get it done, he says. We can put up that 25%, but that would cost the state about $265 million. Again, that wouldn't be coming out of the state's own coffers. That would be from the CARES Act funding that we've received from that $2 trillion federal bailout. But the governor is saying that would necessitate Arkansas essentially shifting their money around, since they've already not quite yet appropriated those funds, but have already found uses for them, especially this $20 million plan to provide broadband wireless internet access points for students going back to school over here in just exactly 2 weeks, actually, in the week of the 24th. $20 million of that would go to that, but if, again, Arkansas would have to pay that $265 million to essentially continue those weekly unemployment payments under President Trump's executive order. He said that would he would need to see more information from Congress. He would hope that they would reach a deal and provide more guidance to states on whether they would be replenishing the money that states would have to put up that 25% again of the weekly pandemic unemployment compensation benefits. And again, you have been listening to the governor's briefing on the coronavirus in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock. Again, 645 new cases of the coronavirus today, for a total of 50,028 Arkansans who've ever tested positive. An additional 11 deaths due to COVID-19 for a total of 555, and 6 fewer Arkansans hospitalized for a total of 508. Thanks for listening. This is KYR News.